Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank God for visiting us this morning and showing up. And when he shows up, the best way or the best thing to do is just get out the way and let him have his way. Is just reduce and let him increase. Amen. So glad you could be with us this morning. It's always a blessing to be among God's people. I tell you all that every Sunday. I do. I really look forward to meeting with you all and fellowshipping with you all every Sunday. I know the purpose is to lift up Jesus and to win souls with Christ, but it is good to be hanging around my kind. And I mean those who are in the body of Christ. But see, when you've been around cussing folk all day, I'm just telling you, it just wears you out. And you get sick of hearing them. And especially for those of y'all, how many, well, I guess it doesn't matter the gender, because I work with a bunch of guys. And boy, it just gets on my nerves. The same subject every day. Y'all know the subject, guys. The same weekend issues, the same stuff. And I just, come on, man, I just want to get away from all of that. Grow up. Let's talk about man stuff. It don't even have to be Christian stuff. Let's just talk about men stuff. Y'all don't understand what I'm seriously. I get sick of them. It's just like little boys. And guess what, y'all? I will tell y'all ladies a secret. They gossip too. They do. They be just gossiping. I told a guy just, I said, man, look, y'all not going to ruin my day with all this gossiping down. I said, I don't want to hear it. I did. I said, I came and I feel good today. It's a beautiful day. Amen. I said, I just don't want to hear it because it drags me down. Take it somewhere else. Now, if you don't like it, then that's too. That's your problem. Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Please. Because I'm ranting now. I ain't even mad at y'all and I'm fussing. Y'all don't deserve that. How y'all doing today? All right, good. Hey, it's gone. I let it go. It's gone. I just released it. Amen. We're going to go to Mark chapter 5, and we're going to, there's 20 verses here, and we're going to read right through those 20 verses, and we won't go back to them, because the only way we're going to really kind of get the whole context of what's going on is we really have to read all of this so you really understand what's going on. We do want to welcome you to Blessed Hope Bible Church this morning. We're still holding on to our theme. Our theme is giving our best to the one who gave his all. Giving our best to the one who gave his all. And in this past month, we've been in a series, Jesus Saves. How many of you know Jesus saves? If you don't know, I'm going to let you know today that Jesus saves. And no matter what you did last night, Jesus saves. And he's not here to judge you. We might judge you. We shouldn't, but we might. But God don't judge, folks. Hallelujah. He don't do that. He look beyond your faults and he see what you need. Yes. And if you need a Savior, that's what he's here for, to save you. So if you don't know Jesus saves, I'm going to tell you today, he saves. Because yes. He saved me. Amen. Amen. Yes. Mark chapter 5, someone's going to read that for us because it's just a lot to read and I just think I need a better reader than myself. Do I have, you ready? You ready? Can she get a microphone? Sister West, give Christina a microphone. And y'all just follow closely, and this will be most of the reading here, and we're going to go into the text.
Jesus and his followers went to the other side of the lake, to the area of the Gerasene people. When Jesus got out of the boat, instantly, a man with an evil spirit came to him from the burial caves. This man lived in the caves, and no one could tie him up, not even with a chain. Many times, people had used chains to tie the man's hands and feet, but he always broke them off. No one was strong enough to control him. Day and night, he would wander around the burial caves on the hills, screaming and cutting himself with stones. While Jesus was still far away, the man saw him, ran to him, and fell down before him. The man shouted in a loud voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I command you, in God's name, not to torture me." He said this because Jesus was saying to him, "You evil spirit, come out of the man." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He answered, "My name is Legion, because we are so many spirits." He begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of that area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hill near there. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us into the pigs. Let us go into them." So Jesus allowed them to do this. The evil spirits left the man and went into the pigs. Then the herd of pigs, about 2,000 of them, rushed down the hill into the lake and were drowned. The herdsmen ran away and went to the town and to the countryside, telling everyone about this. So people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who used to have the many evil spirits sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, and they were frightened. The people who saw this told the others what had happened to the man who had the demons living in him, and they told about the pigs. Then the people began to beg Jesus to leave their area. As Jesus was getting back into the boat, the man who was freed from the demons begged to go with him. But Jesus would not let him. He said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man left and began to tell the people in the 10 towns about what Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed.
Amen. Thank you. Give her a hand for helping me out this morning. Is it okay if I'm just going to stand down here this morning? I want to come down here with you all. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about menace to society. I'm going to use that as a topic, a menace to society. And some of us probably can relate better to that than others when we were growing up. Y'all remember Dennis the Menace? What was the issue with him? He was just always in trouble. Dennis the Menace just looked for trouble. And when he wasn't looking for trouble, trouble found him. And some of us were kind of like Dennis the Menace, or maybe you were Danielle the Menace. But here we read a story of this man who was deranged, and they found themselves alienating themselves from him, or alienating him from others. Now, when you read this story, you probably can picture in your mind, here is this man who has pretty much been deduced to an animal. I mean, here he is in a graveyard. They chain him up. He breaks the chains. He's screaming. He's cutting himself. He's pretty much deranged. And not only that, when Jesus asked him what his name was, before he can even give his name, the demons in him said, "We Legion." In other words, we run in this. Now, we're talking about a legion of demons. We're talking about like 6,000 demons here. 6,000. And some of y'all thought y'all had a split personality. We're talking about 6,000 demons, up to 6,000. So this man here was just demonic, basically. Now, we probably seem to be far attached from his present situation, or his situation may seem to be a little detached from our present circumstances. But I'm going to show you how we really can relate to this guy closer than you think we can. Because all of us have some issues. All of us have some issues, including this guy right here. We all have issues that we have to deal with. So let's talk about his condition. We're going to talk about his encounter. And then we're going to talk about his testimony. Okay, now if you look at those three, his conditions, his encounter, and his testimony, that really is, as we read the whole story, that's really a true worship experience. A true worship experience is not necessarily just coming, shouting, singing good songs, beating our tambourines, dancing in the aisles, and all that. A true worship experience is understanding our condition, yes, the condition we're in, having an encounter with him. Yes. Now, you can sit quietly in your seat and have an encounter with Jesus. Yes. You really can. Now, and as a matter of fact, some of my most memorable encounters with Jesus and transformative moments with him was when I was by myself and there were no more distractions. Amen. Anybody else? Yes. Know what I'm talking about? It was just me and God. And those were some of my most transformative experiences. And then we're going to talk about his testimony. So true worship actually boils down to encountering him, understanding our condition, encountering him, and then walking away with a testimony that Jesus changed me. And I had an experience with him, because if I go away the same after experiencing him and leave the same, it wasn't true worship. True worship is transformative. Amen. Okay, so let's look at his condition. He was alienated, or he was on bad terms with the folks. When God created man, God created Adam, he created this perfect being. When God saw Adam, God saw his reflection. He did. The Bible said he made him in his own. So when God saw Adam, he saw a reflection of himself. So we know Adam was perfect. And Adam was made to be eternal. But the problem was Adam's rebellion. Because of his rebellion, he marred all of that in an instance. I mean, instantaneously, that relationship, all of that plan that God had for Adam, it was just gone, just like that. Just like that. So God created man, and then at that point, now man is alienated from God. And ever since Adam did that, that's been our present state from birth. When you're born, you're alienated from God. You need to understand that. And we need to get other people to understand that. And I said before that one of the most effective ways to testify to people that don't know Jesus is get yourself out the picture. Get them to understand that you are on bad terms with God. That ought to raise some question in somebody's head. Because, see, you have some people who call themselves who actually have these morally good lives. And you have to get them to understand you are on bad terms with God if you don't know him. Now I need to know, what do you mean by that? We on bad terms. Okay. Ephesians 2 and 1 through 3 says this. In the past, you were spiritually dead because of your sins and the things you did against God. The things you did against God. Now you say in my Jim Smith voice, well, what do you mean, preacher? What do I do against God? Did I get it? I nailed it. Nailed it. What did I do? Preacher, I've been living a good moral life. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't cuss. I don't cheat. I'm going to heaven. I don't do no wrong. Now let me share something with y'all. There are some people who live like that. Never gave their life to Jesus, who live like that and feel like they're going to heaven because they live a morally good life. So this verse wouldn't make sense to them to say the things you did against God. What I do against God? Honey, you was born. You were born. And then instantly when you were born, you became God's enemy. Let's finish reading it. Yes, in the past, you lived the way the world lives, following the ruler of the evil powers that are above the earth. Now, remember, it says follow. So in order to follow somebody, somebody was in charge of you. Somebody was telling you what to do. When I know you say you was big and bad enough to do what you wanted to do, but no, somebody was telling you to do it. Somebody was telling you to do that. Powers that are above the earth. The same spirit is now working in those who refuse to obey God. Now, in the past, I want y'all to read this part. All of us, everybody say that.
All of us.
In the past, all of us lived like them, trying to please our sinful selves and doing all the things our bodies and minds wanted to. No regard for nobody or nothing. And you did all the things you wanted to. And you were influenced by somebody, and it wasn't God. We should have suffered God's anger because we were sinful by nature. You was born that way. You say, wow, that's a... Y'all know the legacy of the Hatfield and the McCoys? If you were born a Hatfield, you automatically, the McCoys hated you. If you was born a McCoy, for generations, the Hatfields hated you. You was just born into something that was already in place. And when you born, I'm sorry, it was just already in place. You were born a sinner. You were born an enemy. It says God's angry because we were sinful by nature. We were the same as all other people. So you see, we can really identify with this guy's situation, at least on this one point, that he was alienated. We were alienated from God. We were on bad terms. So that kind of helps us identify with this so-called deranged man who, when we read about him, it's like, well, I can't really relate to that. Because watch this. We can relate to a lot of stories in the Bible. When we talk about the woman who committed adultery, you know, we can identify it because we know stories, we know things about that. Seems a little more contemporary. We can identify with certain things that's going on. But this guy here, we probably really say, never seen nobody like that or met anybody like that. But I want you to get the metaphor here. Everything that he was experiencing, things he were doing, we can closely relate to what this guy. He's not as far detached from us as we might think. Okay, point two, enslaved. He was put in chains. Now notice, they say every time they put chains on him, he did what? Every time they put chains on him, he broke the chains. Now, a chain really is to secure something or to limit something. You put your dog on a chain, not only is to secure him, it's to limit where he goes. So the chains actually served as a type of law. It was a type of law. And the law of the chain says you can or you can't do certain things. It limits you. But he kept breaking the law. Let's talk about legalism for a second. We'll talk about legalism. I grew up in a legalistic system, if you would, spiritually in my denomination. And let me set it up like this first. I thank God for it. Amen. I thank God for how I grew up. Because when you grew up where I grew up and was around the stuff that I was around, you needed some restrictions. Amen. And you needed some parameters. Amen. And you needed some chains at times set around it, even though you broke them. And that's the problem with some of us. We don't set parameters around ourselves. You have to live with some boundaries. Right. You have to really set some, because you know you a mess. And if you don't set any parameters when you live your life, if you don't set up some boundaries, you're going to find yourself in trouble a whole lot. So here's the legalistic system. Let's go back to the old law. What the legalistic system says, or legalism, it was dependence on moral law rather than personal religious faith. The first thing was a person would do certain things to attain salvation. We're going to talk about 3 points of legalism. So if I do X, Y, and Z, now I can be saved. So now that's how I attained my salvation. But we have to understand that you can't do nothing within your own power to get salvation, to get saved. So you have people trying to, we set up these policies, or we set up this system that once you do this, and once you do this, and once you do this, you save. And the Bible just says all you got to do is just tell God, forgive me and come into my heart. And you save back. Grace. It's through grace. But legalism, this is what legalism says. Another point. Now that I did all of that, I attained my salvation. Now I got to maintain my salvation. Now that's the part that got me when I got saved. I couldn't do all this stuff, man. Woo! It was just too many rules. Right? It was overwhelming. And not only that, I was under the impression that I had to go cold turkey. I'm like, hold on now. Give a brother a break. I got to go cold turkey. So now I had to do all of this to get saved. Now I got a whole new set of rules to stay saved. And you know what? I said, for real, I said, forget it. I just can't do this. It's too much. I felt freer before I got saved than I did at that time. I did. I felt freer. You know why? Because when I was doing what I was doing, I just did and I was done with it. But now I had all these rules and regulations, so I'm trying to, every day I'm trying to do this. And I'm losing my balance. So guess what? This is how they teach. When you lose your balance, you got to start all the way back from the beginning. Now I got to get saved again. Now I got to do this again. How long I got to do this? Then I fuck. Oh, man. I got to go all the way back and start off. And it was frustrating. It was frustrating because you know what? I couldn't do it. And guess what? I still can't do it. You can't either. You can't dot every I and cross every T. That's why you need God's grace. That's why you need His grace. Now, let's talk about the third part of this legalistic system, legalism system. Now, I attained my salvation, Josh. Now, I'm maintaining my salvation. Now, I'm in a position now where I can check you out and make sure you're keeping all the rules. Sounds just like them Pharisees, don't it? Run around policing everybody, making sure they do everything they're supposed to do, even Jesus. Jesus, you can't get that man animal out the ditch. It's a Sunday. It's the Sabbath, rather. You just couldn't keep the system. It failed. Now watch this. The law, the Bible does say the law was weak only because it couldn't save you. But God didn't give us the law to save us. God gave us the law to show you that you wasn't saved. The law don't stop you from doing wrong. Those chains that the law put on you does not stop you from doing wrong. Don't raise your hand. How many of y'all in here know you have broke the grand stop signs or red lights when nobody was looking? I said don't raise your hand. So that means y'all ain't listening to me. You ain't listening to what I'm saying. What's the subject? What's the subject? Well, the stop sign, that was the law. It was supposed to stop you from running it, wasn't it? It don't. Laws don't stop you from breaking them. They just let you realize just how sinful we are.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what Jesus came to do.
Yes.
He just came to show us that we need a Savior.
Amen.
And how sinful we are by nature. So we find out that he was put in chains. So we can identify with that. We all had these chains. We tried to live with certain guidelines and live within certain laws and found out we just couldn't do it. So we have to keep going back to God and asking Him for grace. Give me grace. Lord, give me grace. Now let me tell you something about this part here. Make sure that, well, understand this. Everybody that say they're saved, not saved. Now, let me clarify this. Everybody that come up here and cry and say, I love you, Lord, and I give you my life,
yes,
doesn't necessarily give their heart to Jesus. Because here's what giving your heart to Jesus is. I can sum it up in one sentence. You hate sin.
Amen.
I didn't say you didn't sin. I said you hate sin.
Amen.
So when you give your heart to Jesus and say you gave your heart to Jesus and you go back and you still enjoy doing the things you did that you're not supposed to do, you do the math on that one. So laws and regulations will not save you nor stop you from sinning. It's by God's grace. Okay, so we can identify with that. Let's go to point three. He was stripped of his identity. Now, this is very important, and the reason I think this is really important, because I talk about this a lot when it comes to our mentoring, when we're talking to our youth. I try to really embed in their minds that all of this stuff you see, social media, all of this stuff that's influencing you, if you're not carefully, ultimately, you'll really be stripped of who you really are. You'll be stripped of your identity. Because what we have to understand, parents and young people that are in here, there is a system in place to do that to you. There is a system in place. There are professionals, people who spend their lives understanding how to market. And they understand how the human brain works, Cynthia. So I understand if I keep saying baby back ribs, baby back ribs, baby back ribs. I see their mouth watering now, ain't it?
Get them hungry.
So if I keep throwing something in your face, I'm going to give you a good point. My wife kind of helped me with this. There's a certain artist who came out with a CD, and I'm like, She's like, okay, keep listening. You're going, I'm like, whatever. And now I've been listening to his CD all the time. I'm like, don't you know, it's pretty good. It's either, oh, I like it now. I like it. But see, the human brain is like that. And so there's a system in place. There's a system in place that if you're not careful, it will strip you of your identity. Because they keep telling you over and over what you're not. What you're not. Statistics say you'll never be this. You'll never go to Harvard and graduate a valedictorian. No way. You won't. You won't. They'll keep telling you that. And they'll embed that in your mind because your brain is a computer. And it keeps putting that data in your mind. So now you have to guard your mind from all that negative data. Junk in, guess what? Junk gonna come out. So there's a system in place. Now this man was stripped of his identity. Somebody tell me his name. John? That's a good one. Somebody said his name was Everybody. You about right. His name was everything. Liar, cheat, gambler, whatever. Whatever it was, his name was Every. He was stripped of his identity because we never hear his name. I wonder how many of us have lost sight of who we really are because of things that influenced us or things that we went through in our lives. And now you look back and say, you know what? I don't like who I am. Anybody ever said that? I have. Life circumstances, maybe sickness, maybe finances, maybe relationships have stripped you of your identity. Addiction can strip you of your identity. Some folks, you probably can verify this. There are some folks maybe you grew up with and you had a nickname for because of a certain habit they had. And if I was to ask you what their real name was, you'd be like, we just knew him as the neighborhood drunk. You don't even know his name. He was stripped of his identity. Look, don't let your issues become your identity. Did y'all hear what I said?
Yeah.
Don't let your issues become your identity. Don't be the, oh, here she come again person. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't be the, oh, every time everything is going good, here they come. That's your identity. And the enemy wants to strip you of your identity. Let's move on. Self-loathing or self-hate. Now, a lot of us won't even admit to this, but I'll tell you all, there was a time in my life where I hated who I was. I hated myself. Now, let me define hated myself. Not suicidal hate, but every day I was just talking down to myself. Remember in the story where Sister Wesley read, and it talked about him cutting himself with stones? Now, anybody that care about themselves, they ain't gonna cut themselves with no stones. You say, well, Pastor, I'll never do that. Well, you cut yourself a lot with your tongue.
Amen.
The things you say about yourself, we cut ourselves sometimes with our tongue. Because you know what? Now, since I've lost my identity, now they identify me as a nothing, so I guess I am a nothing. So now, there's this self-affliction thing going on. And you know what? People don't even have to discourage you or talk about you because you do a good job all by yourself. I don't have to cut you because every time I'm around you, all you do is talk about how poor things are for you and woe is me. Don't nobody like me. Nothing ever works out for me. Let me read you something by an author. I want you to all look at this. Before you can live, a part of you has to die. You have to let go of what could have been. I repeat, you have to let go of what could have been, how you should have acted, and what you wish you would have done differently. Been there, done that. Been there, done that. Have you ever talked yourself into depression? I wish I had a. I wish I could have. I should have. Well, guess what? It's gone. There's a lot of things I wish I had done differently. Some of us would have been better off if we had done things differently. There are some people in your life that you wish you had done differently dealing with them, because they became an issue in your life. But guess what? You already rang that bell, and you can't unring it. So it doesn't make sense for me to sit here and talk about what I should have done, what I could have done, and then talk myself into this dark hole, if you would. Let me finish reading this. Let's see where we're at. You have to accept that you can't change the past. Say, I can't change the past. You can't change the past experiences, opinions of others at the moment in time or outcome from their choices or yours. You can't change it. At that particular time, certain people had a certain opinion of you. And probably justifiably so. And sometimes you have an experience where you were a certain person or a certain way and God brought you out of that, but you didn't see that when that person saw you last, you was like that. So when they address you or deal with you, they deal with you like that, and they don't deal with me like this. I'm not like that anymore. I'm like this. And some people like to keep you like that. But I'm like this now. Let me finish reading this lady's writing. So you can't change that. When you finally recognize the truth, then you will understand the true meaning of forgiveness of yourself. That comes first. The true meaning of forgiveness of yourself and others. From this point, you will finally be free. Finally be free. Stop living in bondage of your past. Stop letting people keep you in your past. Amen. You know what you do with people like that? You pass them on by. That's what you do. Because at the end of the day, I really don't care anymore what you think about me. Not this particular person. I'm concerned about what God thinks about me now. Because I know I changed. I know I've changed. Amen. And since you don't think I've changed and you want to keep treating me like that, see you. See you. And let me tell you something about certain people. Some folk just don't like you no way. Come on. I know I'm kind of digressing here, but I need to tell this. Some folk just don't like you no way, man. I don't care what you do. Man, you work out too much. You all the muscles. Nobody need all the muscles. Working out. Man, you getting fat around the gut. I mean, no matter what you do, they just don't like you. Let them go. It might be a family member. It might be somebody in your family. Guess what? Let them go. Stop dealing with them. Feed them with a long-handled spoon. Now watch this. I can forgive you and still feed you from back there. I ain't coming back there where you are. I ain't coming back there with you, because I ain't there no more. And you ain't pulling me back there with you. I'm going to give you a bone, but I ain't going to hand it to you. I'm going to throw you a bone. I forgive you, but guess what? I ain't forget what you did. So I ain't gonna deal with you like that no more. Because you know what? You just want to hold something over me anyway. Yeah. So even if I did forgive you, you still going to find something else to be mad at me about. Yeah. Now, I don't have the energy for that. So you have to remember, some of the people, when they saw he was delivered, they were like, wow. Yeah. Sitting there and clothed and in his right mind. Mm-hmm. It was some doubters. Some folk was even angry at Jesus. Now, I don't really know why. I kind of concluded one or two things. They was mad because they enjoyed seeing him in his misery. Yeah. Now, y'all don't do that to people I know. They enjoyed seeing him in his misery. Some folks, you know what? When you come up out of your misery, they're going to leave. Because your misery make me feel better. See, we both broke. I'm broke with a spouse. You broke without a spouse. So I'm a little better than you. So I'm going to hear your story. You make me feel good when I talk to you because you got two issues to talk about. Now when you find somebody, now you on my level, I got to go. Some folk enjoy your misery. So I don't know why they were really mad at Jesus. The other thing I said, maybe it was the farmers because, you know, he cast the devil in them pigs and they went over the cliff. That's a lot of bacon. I love bacon, Doc. And Mark, if I had a herd of pigs instead, somebody made them go over the cliff, even Jesus, I'd be like, Lord, I need a miracle. Because all my pigs gone. I don't know what they were mad at him about. But some folk get mad because they don't really want to see you get delivered. Your testimony don't excite them. It's so much in this story, I'm telling you, I can't even preach it all. So much in this story, I can't preach it all. All right, let's move on. We got to stop playing the victim, though. Self-damaging. Let's go to the next frame. I kind of actually got ahead of you all on that, but that's all right. Now, I want y'all to look at this. Doesn't this sound familiar? I knew I'd fail. I knew I would fail. And really, your efforts were your best efforts, and you really wanted to succeed. So you comfort yourself and say, well, I knew it wasn't going to work out anyway. That's your little comfort that you kind of soothe your little hurt, but you really are disappointed. You ever needed a job and you got that interview and you're like, oh, the interview was good, the phone call was good, everything went good, and you just like, I got this, I know I got this job. And then they call, we've decided to choose another candidate. And you're like, oh, I ain't really want that job, no way. But you be so hurt. Does this one sound familiar? I ain't gonna never lose weight. You know, and you know what? That's a serious issue with some. Because some of us, weight gain can be detrimental to our diabetes and other issues, heart disease and all that. And I never tell anybody, well, all you need to do is just get away from the tables, push your plate back. You know, it's more to it than just. It's a challenge. Because we have this simple nature that love things that are bad for us. So we'll join the gym in January. And by March, they'll never see us again. And now you just paid that membership all year long. They take it out of your account. So you'll cancel it in November. Eat all you can eat in December. And join again in January. I'm trying to be practical here. I don't have a lot of theology on this scripture. I'm just trying to be practical to show you how we can identify with some things that we look deep into. Or we can look on the surface and see how we can relate to this. Yeah. Yeah. I never lose this weight. Let's look at the next one. We got to go. I never start my own business. You know why? Because I tried and that failed. And I tried again. Let me share something. People who are ambitious, mm-hmm. I want you to hear me now. Ambitious people, you will experience failure more than you will success. I want y'all to understand that.
Yeah.
If you are ambitious, you will experience failure more than you will success. Ask any of those folks you see out there that are very successful. One famous inventor said, I fail way more times than I did succeeding. He said, but what I learned from my failure was how not to do it. I figured out how not to do it. So it took me 20 times to get it right. 19 of them were wrong, were failures. But at least those 19 times, I figured out what not to do. And that's how you have to do it. That's how you have to work. I failed, guess what? Well, I know I won't do it that way. I have a problem or an issue with people who keep getting in the same dumb relationships. Now, if you're going to fail in a relationship, fail with somebody that has different character. Don't keep dating a knucklehead. I mean, if he's a knucklehead, let him be a different knucklehead. Let him have some different kind of failures. I mean, you ought to know the signs by now. Okay, it's 9 o'clock. I thought you had a job. Where you work at, Tommy? Because you know Tommy ain't got no job. So you know the last relationship, Tommy never went to work. Why go date another Tommy and think it's going to work out different? If you do the exact same thing over and over again, that's just stupidity. At some point, your ignorance must meet up with illumination and the light bulb must come on. Because after a while, it's no more ignorance, it's stupidity. You're going to say, this ain't got nothing to do with no demon-possessed man. Yes, it is. Look at all these old... Y'all have to remember, he had all kinds of issues going on. I'm just talking about issues this morning. Is that all right? All right, let's go to the next point. Help me out, Pastor Smith. I need you to pray for me. My marriage is over. I believe every married couple... I ain't going to say every married couple. Let me take that back. I believe most married couples have been here, have said it. My marriage is over. So you have to remember, marriage is two people worlds colliding. Ain't no matches made in heaven. Y'all can say all y'all want to. I don't believe that. I don't believe there are matches made in heaven. I believe it's you and another person submitting themselves to the will of God and making it work. That's what I believe. You know why? Because God gives you a choice to marry who you want to. So you have to submit yourself to God, and they have to submit themselves to God, and you got to make it work. All this soulmate. 7 billion people on the planet? Nah, ain't you got no soulmate. You just found somebody that works out good with, and you guys are working it through. You know how you make it work? Brother, you know how to make a marriage work? Both of y'all got to grow up. End of story. Grow up. Stop making it all about you. Amen. Just grow up. That's it. Just grow up. My marriage is over. Guess what? You cutting yourself. That's self-affliction. Let's go. Next one. Now, I want to commit that. I want to dedicate that thought to parents. My wife and I have been here. I'm telling y'all, that don't bother me to tell y'all some of my personal experiences. Because if you love me, you're going to love me anyway, right? A lot of parents have done this. Tears in their eyes. What did we do wrong? I did everything I thought was right to do. Where did we go wrong? Let me show you something. You can take two people, you can raise two communions, sister. I ain't gonna embarrass you like Pastor Forrest do. No, your daughter. Come, it's Sydney, right? Come here, Sydney. I want to show you how we are. Y'all face them. You can take two children. Come on over here. Raise them under the same house.
Yes.
Feed them the same food.
Yes.
Teach them about the same God.
Amen.
Embed the same morals in them.
Same, mm-hmm.
Same parents, healthy household.
Yeah.
One of them will take it and run with it and make it a blessing to their lives.
Amen.
And then that one child you taught the very same thing to will squander it. You didn't go wrong. You can go home. Thank you for letting the Lord use you. Remember that the Lord used you. It's not that you went wrong. It's just the sinful nature of that child. And you'll be like, we didn't teach you that. Where you get that from? They'll squander it. So again, don't cut yourself and keep talking about where did we go wrong. Yeah, there are some situations where parents did go wrong. We'll just get it right. But too many times we'll cut ourselves and we'll ponder over it and ponder over it. And if you're not careful now, then you'll start leaning towards that child and try to justify and accommodate their foolishness and their silliness because you feel like you've gone wrong. No, you didn't go wrong. They need to grow up and get it together. Do we have another one? Oh, yes. I know y'all heard the term the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Why can't I be more like the Jones or the Smiths? Let me share something with you. You don't know why people or where they are and how they got there and what they went through to get to where they are.
Exactly. Amen. Amen.
Number one, everything you see may be a facade.
Come on.
Why can't I be more like Pastor Jim Smith and Stephanie? They always on Facebook taking pictures talking about how happy they are. Well, there's two sides to that. Y'all okay with this?
Yeah.
You just?
Yeah.
There's two sides to that. Number one, watch this. It might not be a facade. Maybe they invested more in their marriage than you did.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So if you want to be more like them, invest in yours.
Yeah.
No, you can't retire at 62 because you didn't start working until you was 52. Why can't I retire and just live a nice, grow old gracefully like Blanche and Emmett? Well, you didn't start working until you was 50. And now you 60 and you had 10 jobs in between 50 and 60. It might not be a facade, but you didn't do what they did to get to where they are.
Amen.
And then again, maybe it is a facade. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You know what? You do you. God got a plan and a purpose for your life. You do you. And stop cutting yourself. Stop worrying about what other folks got, what other things other folks got. Yeah, I drive a Mercedes, but guess what? My gas is about to get cut off. And I got a $750 car note. But I'm cruising. I got gas in my car, but I ain't got gas at home. And now I'm about to borrow some money from you for some gas to put in my car. See, that's what I'm saying. Quit trying to impress folk and quit being impressed by what other folks got and try to measure up to them. Quit trying to measure, base your success on what somebody else got. Success is evaluating your life and see what God had for you, measuring up to what God's plan for your life was. That's what success is. That's when you experience success.
That's right.
All right, let me go. Why can't I be more like, you know what? Just try to be more like Jesus. How about that? That's what we ought to say every day, Kirk. Why can't I be more like Jesus? Now, try being like him. You'll never go wrong trying to be like him. You might not succeed some days, but you will never go wrong trying to be like him. You're only going to get better. Somebody give the Lord a hand praise. If you say, and you had those issues, you know what Corinthians said to us, 5 and 17? If any man be in Christ, he's a new. Old issues, old things have passed away, and then behold, put the behold in there. Look, all things become new. Observe all things, places I used to go, I don't want to go there no more. Things I used to do. And when I say observe, I'm talking about look at somebody else, look at your own life.
Yes, amen.
And if you observe, you still doing, saying, and going the same stuff you used to do, you might not be that if any man be in Christ, new creature yet. You might not. Okay, let's go. His encounter. We get to the exciting part now, y'all. He runs to Jesus. Jesus is he's already tired. Remember, because right before, when Jesus was on the boat, this was right before he was out on the sea with the disciples in the storm. And Jesus was asleep because Jesus was exhausted. He was tired. And the disciples were like, Jesus, you need to get up because we about to die. Let me tell you something. If I die, as long as I'm with Jesus, I'm fine. If Jesus wasn't on the boat, then I would have been scared. If you die and you don't have Jesus with you, then you should be scared right now. As long as you got Jesus with you, don't you fret. Don't you worry. Don't be scared if you got Jesus. So his encounter is he sees Jesus, and as soon as he sees Jesus, now watch the schizophrenia you see here. This man is full of demons. Demons don't run to Jesus. They run from Jesus. So now here's another one of his demons. But now you have this man who needs something and can recognize Jesus. So I believe this is the man running to Jesus. The demons don't want to go. Now once he gets to Jesus, Jesus asks him his name. Before he can say anything, the demons say, "We legion." We legion. And they thought Jesus was coming to torment them before their time. That's another issue. Before he can speak out, we legion. But what I love about him was he ran to Jesus even with his issues.
Amen.
Broken, run to Jesus.
Yes.
Wounded, run to Jesus.
Yes.
Need a Savior? Run to Jesus. You was where you weren't supposed to be last night doing what you weren't supposed to do. Get up Sunday morning and
run to Jesus.
Don't you ever not come to church because you lived so sinful the night before. Don't use that as an excuse. Because apparently you're a little sick. And when I'm sick, I just need to go to the hospital. What good is a hospital if it can't take care of my condition? What good are we, church, if we can't help folk that's sick and not talk about them? What it look like you go into the emergency room and you in a car accident and you bruised and battered all up and they sit up there talking about your condition and laugh? I need some help.
Amen.
I know what's wrong with me. I don't need you to keep telling me what's wrong.
Fix me.
Fix me. When folks come in here, we got to fix them, y'all. I don't care what's wrong with them. We got to let God fix them. It's a spiritual hospital.
Yes.
And if they come like that, evidently they're trying to get to Jesus.
Amen.
And don't you get in their way.
Amen.
Don't you roll your eyes.
Amen.
Because they're trying to get to Jesus. Amen. I've been there. Anybody ever been broken and needed to get to Jesus?
Amen.
And the schizophrenia part of you. See, that's when Jesus really get ready to save you, that's when your schizophrenia really kick in. You really get schizophrenic because that little, y'all see the cartoon where you had a little angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other shoulder? And that little devil like, don't go, you little sinner. And the angel like, you need to go. You just go and give God praise and lift your hands and sing every praise. And the devil like, yeah, but remember what you did and remember what you said. And you know, you ain't even fully detoxed yet. So what? I'm going to go with Jesus. And you know what I'm saying? Get to Jesus. Whatever your condition is. You got to get to Jesus. When he saw Jesus in verse 6, he ran to them. Remember when Peter was on the boat with the disciples and the storm was going on? What did he do? Jesus, I want to be where? He just wants to get to Jesus. I'm not worried about the storm if I can get to you. If I can get to Jesus, I know everything is going to be all right. Remember Bartimaeus when he was in the crowd and the parade or whatever was going on, the procession was going on? And he couldn't see Jesus, but he knew Jesus was around. I don't see you, Jesus, but I know you're in the room. I know you're around. So guess what? Help! Jesus! Now watch this. Some of them folks got an attitude with him. You don't know where my praise is coming from. You don't know why I'm crying out. Maybe that's not your mythology, but that's mine right now because I just need to get to Jesus. And guess what? Maybe I don't understand it right, but this is the best way I know right now how to get to Jesus. Help! Now, maybe later on I don't need to scream so loud, but right now all I understand is, help! I got to get to Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. I got to get to Jesus. You ain't the one that's blind. I'm the one that's blind. I got to get to Jesus. You can see Jesus. I want to see Jesus too. So don't tell me to shut up. I want to see Jesus. I bet you three of y'all won't shout, help! This is my favorite story. Now y'all be careful over here. This is my favorite story. The woman with the issue of blood. Been through so much. Had lost. See, people don't understand what you lost. People don't understand what you've been through. People don't understand what you're going through. Sometimes people don't understand where you come from. So maybe I am a little out of order. Maybe I don't understand some things quite, you know, like you understand it. But what you don't understand is that I done been through some things now. So what you think about me now don't even matter. So now this woman with the issue of blood, she was knocking stuff out the way. Don't be scared, honey. I ain't gonna hurt you. I promise. She had to get to Jesus. And y'all see how crazy y'all looking at me? That's how they were looking at her. She was just knocking folk all out the way. I got to get to Jesus. I'm sorry I stepped on your toe. I got to get to Jesus. I'll text you two later. I got to get to Jesus. I really don't care what you're going through right now. I got to get to Jesus. I know I'm being a little rude right now, Lenny. Being a little unorthodox right now, but guess what? You don't know what I've been through. I didn't talk to you already, and I'm in worse shape now than I was before I got to you. I won't talk to you no more. I got to see Jesus. Anybody here need to get to Jesus? Anybody here just need to touch him? I just need to touch him, just a little touch. I need to position myself where I can just get a little touch. If that means getting you out the way, then so be it. Get out of my way. I got to get to Jesus, man. And I got to get there the best way I know how. I don't know your way right now. Teach me your way later, but right now I got to get to him my way. And my way might be a little offensive. But guess what? She got her deliverance. She got her deliverance. Thank you, ma'am. That's all that matters at the end of the day. I could put a Band-Aid on that toe. But I got delivered from something I've been going through for years. And I lost everything. Paul said, if you call in Romans 10 and 13, if you call on the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. His testimony. Last point. His testimony. Now y'all need to clap y'all hands right there. That was it.
Now, I read y'all Romans 2 and 1 through 3.
Yes.
I read y'all a part. Y'all remember that? How we went to Romans, Ephesians 2 and 1 through 3. Remember we read that earlier about how we were alienated from God? We did what we wanted to do with our bodies and minds, and we were sinful and all that. But I say the best part of that passage for last.
Amen. Amen.
But God, Marla. But God's mercy is great. And he loves us very much, though we were spiritually dead, just like Legion. He was walking and breathing, but he was dead, y'all. And he hung around dead folk. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all better get that. He hung around dead folk because he was birds of a feather flocked together. You better check your company. Show me who you run with. I'll show you your future. If you an A-plus student and you running with an F student, that don't make sense. Something wrong. Either somebody going to become an A student or somebody that's an A going to become an F student. But generally, A-plus students, honor roll students don't hang out with kids that hang out in the hallway. Because they in classroom getting that 4.0 grade point average. So I'm going to challenge all you college students, high school, grade school students, all of y'all, whatever little posse or crew you run with, y'all all sit down and look at y'all report cards. I bet you they probably similar. And if your little crew got a 1 point something, you need to start running with a different crew. Because guess what? You're going to end up with a 1 point something. Oh, that's just the law. That's just how it works. People with PhDs don't sit on the corner and drink wine and whiskey with folks who sit around garbage cans with fire and singing four top songs. Yeah, we're going to sing in a minute. We just wait for Dr. Jones to get off from work. He got one more surgery to do. Then we're going to do our song. So this is for the brother that ain't here right now. No, it don't work like that. All them brothers hanging around that trash can, similarities. When Dr. Jones get off work, he going out with the other doctors. We're going to get us some caviar. Now see? But God's mercy is great, y'all, and he loves us very much. Though we were spiritually dead because of the things we did. Here it is again. The things we did against God. God, he gives us new life with Christ. You have been
saved by
come on, Jesus saves. Y'all give him a hand. Come on, y'all, stand up with me. We're ready to go. Jesus saves.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I want to pray with everybody in this room. But I especially want to pray for you that if you're in the graveyard, if you're dead, you living and breathing, you can see, you can hear. But you don't know Jesus, guess what? You're the walking dead. I know we don't preach a lot of this. You don't hear a lot of this across the pulpit. But guess what? All of us are going to have eternal life. But let me go a little further. All of us are going to have eternal life, but the question is, where are you going to spend your eternity?
Yes, sir.
And if you're here right now, you don't know Jesus. I just told you Jesus saves. I want you to raise your hand right there, and we're going to pray. All of us going to pray with you together. This is a team effort today. All of us going to pray the sinner's prayer. All of us going to pray together. If you're not here, just raise your hand. I'm not going to prime you. I'm not going to push you because maybe it won't happen today, but maybe there was a seed planted today, but you just don't know. Today just might be the day that God calling for you, and this might be your time. If you don't know Jesus, raise your hand, and we're going to pray with you because all of us got some stuff we need to ask God to forgive us for, to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Don't nobody, I don't deserve to be up here preaching. I wasn't so good that I should be up here preaching. You don't deserve what you got waking up this morning and breathing fresh. You didn't deserve that. It was God's grace.
Yes. Thank you.
And the rest of us, we're going to pray for our issues. We're going to pray for our issues that keep us from being what God has us to be, that keeps us talking ourselves down. We talk down to our children. You don't realize what you're saying to them. Tell your children, even if he don't know what he should know at that age, mm-hmm. encourage his what he does know. Yes. Don't even focus on what he don't know. Encourage for what he does know.
Yes. Amen.
Quit cutting your children. Quit cutting your spouse. Quit cutting yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're new creatures now.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for this message on today, Lord. We thank you because you spoke.
Yes.
Now, God, I pray right now that if anyone here that don't know you, Lord, that they didn't really have to say it openly, but let them quietly give their heart to you.
Yes.
It works that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if they were embarrassed or ashamed and raised their hand, I pray right now, Lord, that you will open their hearts and let them receive you right now. Go into their hearts, change their lives, save them. But let them make the conscious decision, not my words, but let the decision be theirs.
Yes.
And God, for the rest of us, God, we have so many issues in this room. To some degree, Lord, all of us are wearing a mask, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
Everybody don't know everything about us. And not that we're just pretending. The truth is, we don't need to know each other's business.
Amen.
Because God, you're the healer.
Yes.
You fix everything. They can't fix it no way. So, God, we're taking all our burdens, we're taking all our concerns, and we're giving them to you. And we're casting all our cares on you because you're the one that cares for us.
Yes.
And I know if I tell you what's wrong with me, God, I won't see it on Facebook.
Mm.
It won't be on Periscope or Twitter. If I tell you what's wrong with me, God, I know you're going to look at my fault, and then you're going to see what I need.
Yes, Lord.
So, God, we're casting our cares on you.
Yes.
Because we know you care for us and you love us.
Yes.
God, we're through cutting ourselves. We through talking about we ain't going to do, we ain't going to be, I should have, would have, could have. We're done with that. And we're walking in the newness.
Yes, Lord.
We're going to trust and depend on you. Because we can do all things with Christ that strengthens us.
Yes,
and we're going to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody give God a hand praise. You can have me seated. Brother Todd.